It is such a special honor for me to have been invited by my dear friend Shlomo Safra and his family to come to speak to all of you in São Paulo. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined that there are so many people that are committed to Yiddishkeit. I was so amazed Friday night at the Young People's Minyan, and then Shabbos in the morning in the main minyan, and then just to be in the various schools. It's just absolutely incredible. I want to thank Amanda for doing the translation. I'm going to speak a little slow so that everybody will be able to understand and that she'll be able to translate. And I'm honored to speak to the mothers and grandmothers and future mothers of Klal Yisrael. We know that at the Seder, Leil Pesach, the night of Pesach, we speak about four sons, the Chacham, the wise one, the Rosha, the one who is not observant, the Tam, the simple one, and She'eini Yodea Lish'ol, the one who does not know even what to ask. And it's very interesting that the whole Haggadah, when you read it, is in Lashon Zohar, is in male. But then when it comes to talking about the child that he doesn't even know what to ask, the language is At Pesachloi. At means you should open him up. At, the commentaries ask the question, why over here instead of Atah, is it At? Atah is usually male, and that's usually what the Haggadah is addressing. And here, it's to the female. So there are two answers. The first answer is, At is the first letter of the Jewish alphabet, Aleph, and Tov is the last letter of the Jewish alphabet. So when you have a child that doesn't even know what to ask, you got to tell him everything. From A to Z, from Aleph to Tov. So it starts, At Pesachloi. You should open him up. You got to tell him everything. But then there's another answer. That when you have a child who needs special attention, who has to be taught everything, the mother is the one who does it, not the father. The mother is the one who gives the special attention to the child that needs it. And we know that if a boy is smart, the father takes the pride. But if the boy or the girl needs special attention, the father is someplace else. And the mothers are the ones that work with the children. And that's why it says At in the Lashon of Nekeva. Now, from the beginning of time, when Adam named his wife Chava after she was created, he said that she was Aim Kol Chai, the mother of all living beings. Chava was the first woman, right? So she was the mother of all living beings. The question is, Adam is not called Av Kol Chai. If she is the mother of all living beings, isn't he the father of all living beings? He was the first man. And just like she's the first woman, so it should have said that he is Av Kol Chai, the father of all living beings, just like she is. And the commentaries explain that Av Kol Chai or Aim Kol Chai doesn't only mean physically that she was the mother of every living being, but what it means is that she, Aim Kol Chai, Chai means life. And what the Ksav Sofer writes, and he says as follows. He says that ever since Chava did the Avera, did this shut off? Ever since Chava did the Avera, she was now the one that was obligated to raise the children. That was the pain that she would suffer more than the man. And the role of the mother is to nurse the child, to raise the child, and make him feel special. It's the mother who makes the child feel more special than even the father does, because she has that language. A woman has that language to connect to a child more than the father. Now, it's so interesting because there is a Gemara that some people say that it's derogatory. Derogatory means that it's negative towards the women, and I say just the opposite. It's the biggest compliment. Now let me tell you the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that there are 10 sections or 10 parts of speech, 10 different levels of speech, and 9 have the women and 1 has the man. So people say, oh, you see, because a woman is a yenta, right? She speaks a lot. So she has 9 portions of speech and the man has only 1. So it seems that women talk more than men, right? That's what it seems the Gemara is saying, right? The woman has 9 portions of speech and the man only has only 1. And I say just the opposite. It's the biggest compliment. Why did Hashem make it that women talk more than men? Because they have the bigger obligation of raising the children. And when they raise the children with the conversation and the language that they have, they elevate the children much more than the men. Now, I'll give you a small example. I had the greatest mother in the world. My mother believed that I could do anything. And when you have a mother that believes that you could do anything, after a while, you believe it also. Now, I just want to show you something that my mother said, and you will see how clever and how she built me in difficult times. When I was 21, my father died. I'm the oldest of 7 children. My father was only 47 when he died. Now, when you're 21, you think that, oh, 47 is an old man. But there's a lot of women here who understand that 47 is still pretty young. Now, I had to leave the yeshiva, and I was a mohel. My father taught me how to be a mohel because he was a mohel. And I now had to support my mother and 6 younger brothers and sisters. And it was very, very difficult. Sometimes I would come into a house, I was 21, 22, and a grandmother would take a look at me, and she said, oh, you look so young. So I would say, the baby's also young, right? Just trying to make a little joke out of it. But I didn't get many calls because people knew that I wasn't that experienced yet. So sometimes I would come home either from yeshiva, if I was able to attend there, or from a bris, and I said to my mother, Ma, were there any calls? I was waiting to hear if there were any calls. She said 2 of the greatest words that I ever heard. She said, not yet. And that was genius. What does not yet mean? She could have said no, there was no calls, because there weren't any calls in the beginning. But that's not what she said. She said, not yet. That meant that one day you're going to get so many calls, you won't even know what to do with yourself. You're going to be so busy. And those 2 words, only a mother could think of that. To say to the child, don't worry. Right now they're not calling you. Not yet. But eventually they will. And that's the great confidence. And that's why a mother is called Aim Kol Choy. She is the one that makes the child feel special. And that's why she has the 9 out of the 10 portions of speech, because that is her role, to build the child so that the child can become great and can accomplish. David HaMelech writes, Ono Hashem, Hashem, please help me. Ki ani avdecha, because I am your servant. And then he says these words, Ani avdecha ben amosecha. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. In other words, he's saying, you know why I became what I became? Because I had a great mother. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller points out something. He talks about his mother, but he doesn't say her name. What's her name? Does anybody know her name? Only one place in the Gemara does it say the name of the mother of David HaMelech. Does anybody know?
Adel.
What?
Adel.
Natzevet. Natzevet. Natzevet Bas Adael. And the other ones, Amasloi was Avram Avinu's mother and Shimshon was Tzlafonis. But the point is, why does David HaMelech not mention his mother's name? You know why? Because many times it's the man that's out in the front and the center and gets all the publicity. But the women, or the woman is home, or the woman is behind the scenes, and she's making all the decisions, but she doesn't get the credit. She's behind the fence, so to speak. Kol kavuda bas melech panima. The kavod of a woman is not to be on the front pages, but she's behind the scenes, but she makes the important decisions. And that's what David HaMelech said. I am who I am only because I had a mother, but she was not front and center. Ani avdecha, I am your servant, ben amasecha, the son of your maidservant. So the first lesson, I think, that every mother, future mother, every grandmother has to know, that you're not going to get the credit for it. The kids are never going to thank you enough. Only when they have their own children do they realize, oh, that's what my mother used to do for me. But they don't. They can't appreciate. So I'm going to read to you now a song. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read to you a poem. And if you want to have the poem in front of you, you go online and just write these two words, no charge, okay? Now listen to this amazing poem that will teach us a great lesson. It's a mother that wrote it. My little boy came into the kitchen this evening while I was fixing supper, and he handed me a piece of paper that he had been writing on. So after wiping my hands and my apron, I read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the grass, cutting the grass, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. For playing with baby brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning the yard, $2. Well, I looked at him standing there, expecting payment, and 1,000 memories flashed through my mind. So I picked up the paper, I turned it over, and this is what I wrote. This is what the mother wrote. For the 9 months that I carried you growing inside of me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you and doctored you and prayed for you, no charge. For the time and the tears and the cost through the years, no charge. For the nights filled with dread and the worries ahead, no charge. For advice and the knowledge and the cost of your college, no charge. This is my favorite. For the toys, food, and clothes, and for wiping your nose, no charge. Son, when you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge. Well, when he finished reading, he had great big tears in his eyes, and he looked up at me and he said, Mama, I sure do love you. Then he took out a pen, and in great big letters he wrote, paid in full. Now, isn't that beautiful? And that's really what our children are. Eventually, they understand, and eventually, they have gratitude, but not when you want them to have. When you stay up late at night, and they're crying all night, and you want to throw them out the window, they're not saying thank you. When you do all the things for them in school and the homework and the food and the lunches and the supper and marrying them off, hardly anybody says thank you. But only when they get older and they do it for their children, that's when they begin to realize. But by that time, they're worried more about what their kids are not saying to them than what they're saying to you. And that's really the lesson of a Jewish mother. We do it because we know it's the right thing to do. Now, I'll tell you, many of you know how to say mother in Hebrew. How do you say mother in Hebrew? Anybody know? Aim. Where does that come from? You know what I think? It comes from Aleph is Adam, Mem is Mashiach. The mother brings from Adam HaRishon all the way down to Mashiach. The children are Jewish. The children are religious. The children are good. The children are going to come to Mashiach because of Aim, because of the mother. Now, a great rabbi once told me something. This is so amazing. In every language in the world, except Hungarian, I don't know why. In every language, when you have the word mother, it has the mem, M sound. Watch this. Ima is mother. Madre is mother. Mer is mother. How do you say mother in Portuguese? That's also with M, right? Every single language. Mama, right? But by father, no connection. Daddy, father, Abba, padre, no connection. Why is the M there by every language? And again, I don't know why Hungarian, but whatever. But you know what Rabbi Huttner once said? Brilliant. The word, the letter M, or the letter Mem, comes from Emunah. Emunah means trust. Who is the one who teaches the child trust in Hashem? Who is the one who teaches trust in humanity? That's the mother. That's why in every language she has the M or the Mem. And that's the role of a Jewish mother. A mother, I remember when I was a little boy, the first words or the first song that my mother taught me was Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morosha Kehilat Yaakov. That's what my mother taught me. That's what I remember as a little boy. And I remember her teaching it to all my brothers and sisters. That's the emunah. That's what all of you, that's your role. You have such an important role because you are the aim from Adam to Mashiach. And all of you, when you belong to this wonderful organization, which just occurred to me, also has the M, Lamaila, right? It has the Mem in it because you're going up, right? Because you're going up and you're teaching Emunah and we're teaching the connection from Har Sinai all the way down to Mashiach. Now, I want to tell you something else, something very interesting. You see, I really don't know how all of you do it. Do you know what a mother has to be? A mother has to be a nurse, a therapist, a cook, a waitress, a breadwinner, a teacher, a wife, an advocate, a daughter to her older parents, and a seamstress. I don't know how you do it. Now, I want to tell you something about my mother. I told you, we were very, very close. And especially my father died at a young age, and I was only 21, but my mother and I were very tight. Now, my mother, as loud as I am, that's how quiet she was. She never, ever spoke in public, but she was brilliant and very smart, and she was a great writer. And she taught me writing. All the books that I've written, it's only because I learned writing from her. Now, what she used to do, I know you're not going to believe this, is, you know, today, all of you have heard of Artscroll? So Artscroll translated the Gemara. But many, many, many years ago, long before Artscroll, there was a company in England called Sansino. And they had little Gemara, little Gemaros they translated in English, and my mother had it on her desk and she would read it. I said, Ma, what are you doing? A woman doesn't learn Gemara. She said, look, I'll never ask you anything you don't ask me. Just, I like to know what Rab Zeira said. I like to know what Abaya said. I like to know what the great rabbis in the Talmud said. I don't understand everything, but I just like to be familiar. Okay. One time, my mother and I were talking about old age. So she said to me, you know what the Gemara says, right? I said, Ma, what are you talking about? She said, no, the Gemara says that an old woman is a treasure. An old man coughs. I said, Ma, come on, where'd you get that from? She said, no, it's a Gemara. I said, what are you talking about? Where's that Gemara? She said, I'm not going to tell you. You find it. And you know something? I started looking for it, and you wouldn't believe it. It really is a Gemara. It's hard to believe. The Gemara says a little different. The Gemara says like this. Saba bebesa, when you have an old man in the house, pocha bebesa, it's a calamity. What does he do? He sits around, does nothing, right? An old man comes to the house, unless he's a Talmud Chacham, he does nothing. Sabta bebesa, when a grandmother comes to the house, oh, sima bebesa, she's a treasure. You ever see a grandmother come to the house? In 5 minutes, she's putting on the apron, she's washing the dishes, cleaning the dishes, sitting on the floor, doing a puzzle with the baby, diapering the baby, doing 150 things. And the old man sits there. Now, my mother said he coughs, that she made up. But the point is, women are the ones that are carrying Klal Yisrael. They don't always get the attention that they should get. But as a woman gets older, she becomes even more precious and more valuable to a family, to children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I know it's hard to believe, but I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm a great-grandfather. Could you believe that? A great, in my life, when I was growing up, I never even saw a great-grandfather. I didn't even see my grandfather and my grandmother from my mother's side. I saw from my father's side. But today, grandmothers, and many of you are grandmothers for sure, they go skating with their grandchildren. Or they're doing 1,000-piece puzzles, right, with their grandchildren. It's amazing. You know, grandmothers and women have a connection to a child that is absolutely just incredible. But I'll tell you something else that you could do better than men. And the Gemara tells us something very interesting. The Gemara tells us that during the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a king, his name was Yoshiyahu, and he was a great tzaddik. But what happened during the first, and this is so hard to believe, but the Gemara tells us that people stopped traveling to Yerushalayim. They stopped traveling to the Beis HaMikdash. And what happens to a building when nobody comes there? The ceiling begins to buckle, the walls begin to peel, the floors come up, and the Beis HaMikdash looked terrible. And Yoshiyahu felt very bad about that. So he decided that he's going to travel all over Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to inspire people to begin praying again and to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And he told the Kohen Gadol, Chilkiyahu, he said to him, I want you to put away money because I'm telling you, I'm going to inspire the people and they're going to start coming and thousands of people are going to come. We're going to have to build up the Beis HaMikdash again because it's in tatters. And sure enough, that's what happened. And one day, Yoshiyahu went to his secretary, Shaphan, that was his name, Shaphan. He said, go to the Kohen and tell him it's time to refurbish the Beis HaMikdash. Now they had saved a Sefer Torah to make sure that they have a perfect Sefer Torah when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And when Shaphan went to the Kohen to tell him what the king said, that we have to rebuild, they went to look to see if they had the Sefer Torah. And they had the Torah and they opened it up. Now, when they opened it up, it opened to a pasuk that was so frightening. And the pasuk said, Yoleich Hashem oischa v'yesmalkecha. There's going to come a time when Hashem is going to send the Jewish people out of Eretz Yisrael. And the king and the Jewish people are going to have to leave. And they were very frightened. And when they told it to the Jewish king, he said, Oi, we have to pray. We have to daven that such a thing shouldn't happen. So now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Yoshiyahu had to make a decision. Who is he going to ask to pray? The prophet Yirmiyahu, the Navi, was alive. So we would have thought he would go to Yirmiyahu, who's the tzaddik, to go daven. But he didn't. He went to a woman. Does anybody possibly know which woman he went to that she should pray? Her name was Huldah. Huldah, she was a Neviyah. She was a woman prophet. And he went and he asked her, please pray for the Jewish people. So the Gemara asked a question. He had the big tzaddik, Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah Hanavi, why did he go to the woman? And listen to what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Mibnei Shehanoshim Rachmonios, because women have more compassion than men. And the Marsha, that's one of the commentaries, says, they have the capacity, v'tevakesh rachamim, they can pray, l'shanois me'ro'a l'toiva. They could change. When God wants to do something evil, they could change it more than the men can. Now, we know that the men are always in shul, but the Gemara is telling us, you, all of you, can daven better than me. And that's why every one of you should make sure that you daven and that you pray every day, even if you pray in Portuguese, you pray in English, you pray in Hebrew. But women have more of a heart for prayer than men. That's why Yeshayahu went to the prophetess, the Huldah. And that's what you have to know. You have the great compassion, not only the great compassion to reach the children. And that's why you're called Aim Kol Choy, the mother who gives life to the child, who makes the child feel special. But you have the compassion to pray. So even if you only pray 5 minutes a day, if you pray at a Sidur, that's great. And if you have the time for that, that's wonderful. But every day say Modeh. Every day say the Brachot. Say different prayers. The rabbis will show you which prayers you should say if you have only a few moments. But don't forget to pray for you and for your children and for Klal Yisrael, because that's what the Gemara is telling us. The woman can pray. And we know Rachel, Mevakeh al Banaha. Rachel, the mother Rachel, she was the one who prayed. And when the Jews were in Golos, Hashem said, Rachel, because of you, I'm going to bring back the children to your Shalayim. Not because of Avram, not because of Yitzchak, not because of Yaakov, not because of Moshe, because of the woman, Rachel. So don't forget, you have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. And sometimes women think that they're in the background, but you're up front. That's what the Gemara is telling us. You're the one that builds the child. You're the one that's Aim Kol Choy. And you're the one that can make sure that evil turns to good. That's your role. Now I want to tell you another thing. You know, there is a story in Tanakh that Shmuel was a prophet, and he told the Jewish king Shaul that he has to kill out all the people from the nation of Amalek, the men, the women, the children, the animals, everything. But Shaul didn't listen. And afterwards, Shmuel went to him and he said, I told you what God said. Why didn't you listen to me? Why didn't you listen to what Hashem said? So he said, you know why? I was afraid of the people. The people didn't want I should kill out the women and the children and the animals.
So listen to what Shmuel says to Shaul.
And he said like this.
Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. Shaul first says, Chatosi, I sinned and I didn't listen to what Hashem said.
Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel said, Haloi im koton ato be'enecha, even if you're small in your eyes, roi shifte Yisrael ato, you're the head of the Jewish people, you're the king. And that's what I want to say to all of you. You are the queen in your house. Don't be afraid of your children. Many mothers today are afraid to say no to their children. Don't be afraid. You are the queen. Your husband is the king and you're the queen. You could say no to your child. And you have to show values to your child. If your child wants to go out riding a bike and he doesn't want to wear the helmet, that's what I was asking you before. You say you've got to wear a helmet. And he says, no, Mom, but the other kids are not wearing helmets. But I love you more than the other mothers love their kids. And if a child wants to stay out Saturday night past 10:30 or 11:30, whatever curfew they want, and you say, no, there's a curfew in this house. And they say, Ma, yeah, but the other girls or the other boys, they're out till 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, but I care for you. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be safe. I don't want you to be out in the streets. You have to set the standards. You have to show. And that's what children want. Children want direction. They don't want just liberties. Because then they don't respect the parents. They respect the parents when you have values. But you can't be afraid of them. Now, I want to tell you something. Very interesting. I once read in a magazine that if you want to know what your children think about you, and you could all try this out tonight, tell them to draw a picture of you. Tell them, now I want to show you something. I asked 5 women to do this for their children. And I want to tell you what the 5 women reported back to me. How the children drew a picture of their mother. One child drew a picture of his mother cleaning strawberries. Another one drew a picture of the mother watching the boy play soccer with his friends. They had a team and she went to the game to be with the child. Another one had the mother baking latkes. And the 4th one had telling the baby, the little child, a story before bedtime. And the 5th one, which I don't understand, but is certainly my favorite, was the child drew a picture of her and her mother climbing on a rainbow. I don't know what that means, but it was gorgeous. And you know something? Those 5 women were my daughters and my daughters-in-law. And I was so happy that not one of them drew the mother in an office. If your child draws you in an office doing real estate or commercial, whatever, I don't care how much money you're making, that's not what a child should look at, the mother. She's not a businesswoman. She has to be a mother. Eventually, you'll make a lot of money or let your husband make the money. But you have to be a mother. And if you want to see how your children think of you, don't tell them what to draw. Just say, draw a picture of me. You could write me. I'll give you my email. You tell me. Maybe you'll be in my next speech. My father once went to a store before Hanukkah. And as I told you, I'm the oldest of 7 children. And Hanukkah, you know, the custom is you buy gifts for the children. And this was a store in Williamsburg. A Hasidish Yid had the store. I don't know, you come back from Williamsburg back there? I don't know. But anyway, there was a guy, Michal, Hasidish guy, who had toys. They were hanging from all over the place. And my father said to the guy, I don't know what to give my kids. So the Hasidish guy said, you know what's the best thing you could give your kids? He said, time. time. And you know something? I once went to Rav Shlomo Volba, Zecher Tzadik Lavracha, who was a Mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, very brilliant person. And I said to him, tell me, I said, I have the opportunity to speak to parents many times. What should I tell them? And he said, tell every parent there are two things they have to give their child. Time and love. And my son was there, so he asked the rabbi, Rabbi Volba, how much time do you have to give your child? And you know what he said? As much as they need. That's a great answer. You have to be there for your children. And you have to make sure that your husbands are there for the children. And that they are there at supper time. Not that they're going out and saving the world. The most important thing is your children. Time and love. And I want to tell you what I did. I have five children. And you know what I did with every child? Every week, I gave every child 20 to 25 minutes undivided attention. No cell phones, nothing. Whatever you want to do. You want to go bowling? We'll go bowling. You want to go buy pizza? We'll buy pizza. You want to do exercise? We'll do exercise. You want to learn Ezra in Tanakh? We'll learn Ezra. But every child knows that they had individual time. And when you validate your child, validate means making them feel special, they're going to follow you. Because every child wants parents. Every child wants to be guided. But if you don't spend time with them, they're going to find other people that will spend time with them, and you're not going to be happy with that. So time and love are the most important things that you could give to your child. Now, I'll tell you a story that's a little bit painful to listen to. Obviously, I don't know most of you here, obviously. But I'm going to tell you a story. I have a friend who's a therapist. I don't know why all my friends are therapists. Maybe something's wrong with me. But whatever. But this fellow, Mayor Wickler, once told me a story. He said that, he told me two things. He said he once had a 22-year-old girl in his office. And she was having problems. And she was in his office. Now it was the third time. So he said to her, he said, you know, this is the third time in my office. Not once did you mention your father. You want to tell me something about your father? And all of a sudden she started crying. She couldn't stop crying. And he told me he felt so bad. Why did he bring it up? If she didn't talk about it, so fine, forget about it. And he said, I'm so sorry I brought it up. She said, no, it's okay. She wiped away her tears. She got control of herself. And she said, I want to tell you something. She said, when you mentioned my father, I thought of something that happened at a Pesach Seder a few years ago when I was an early teenager. It was the night of Pesach, and I took the Afikoman. And we know that in many families, the children take the Afikoman and they get a gift. So my father came over to me afterwards and he said, I know you have the Afikoman. What do you want as a gift for the Afikoman? And I said to him, a conversation. Isn't that sad? That's what she wanted, a conversation. Think about it. When was the last time you really had a conversation with your child? Do you know the names of your child's three best friends? Do you know the color, the favorite color of your child? I'll tell you another story that Mayor Wickler told me, not easy to listen to. He said that there was a couple that had a divorce, and the father had the boy on Shabbos, and the mother had the boy throughout the week. And one night, the mother is putting the child to sleep, and he starts crying. She said, why are you crying? Yeah, I want to go to my daddy. What do you mean you want to go to your daddy? You go to your daddy on Shabbos? No, I want to go to my daddy tonight. And she couldn't put him to sleep. He didn't stop crying. So she didn't know what to do. So she called her ex-husband, who didn't live far away. She said, the boy is crying. He wants to come to you. Would you mind picking him up? He said, okay, I'll come. And he picks up the boy and he takes him to his house. And as he puts the boy to sleep, the little boy starts crying. He said, why are you crying?
I want my mommy.
What do you mean you want your mommy? You said you wanted me. That's why I came to pick you up, right?
No, I want my mommy.
Now, if the mother couldn't control him, the father surely couldn't control him. So the father calls the ex-wife and says, you know, he changed his mind. He wants to be by you. Could I bring him back? She says, of course. He brings him back, and as he's about to leave, the little boy stands by the door. Daddy, don't leave! Don't leave! I want you to stay here tonight. He says, I can't. I'm sorry, I just can't. And the father leaves, and the little boy cries himself to sleep. And the next day, listen to this. The mother goes to Dr. Wickler, the therapist, and she tells him the whole story, and she says, Dr. Wickler, do you think my child needs therapy? And you know what Dr. Wickler said? Your child doesn't need therapy. He needs parents. That's what we need. Every child needs a father and a mother. Every child needs a father and a mother that shows them love and time. And sometimes, unfortunately, the marriage has to break up, but that's not the fault of the child. No mother ever, even if she's divorced, has a right to say nasty things about the ex in front of the child. And no husband has any right whatsoever to say anything nasty about the mother in front of the child. Because every child needs parents. Every child needs a father and a mother. And that's what we have to give our child. We have to give them time and love. And if you want the generations to be normal and to keep on the generations in a happy way, that's the way to do it. People ask me, how do you do what you do? 3 weeks ago, you were in Spain, Gibraltar, and in Morocco. 2 weeks ago, you were in Israel. Now you're in Brazil. Next week, you're going, and 2 weeks, you're going to England. How do you do all this stuff? You know what the answer is? My kids are married. You got to be crazy to do this stuff if your kids are home. Your children are the most important thing that you have in this world. I want to tell you a great story. It's one of the greatest stories. Ariella, I'm sorry you're going to have to hear it again, but she's my host for the last 2 days, so I told her the story. This story is a life changer. This story can change your life. Just listen carefully. It's just amazing. See, a number of years ago, in Lakewood, New Jersey, they decided that they are going to close all the elementary schools before Pesach, 3 days before Yontif, so that husbands will be able to help the wives before the Yontif of Pesach. It's a very, very busy time. So now it's 3 days before the holiday, and what happens is that the father comes into the house, and he says to his wife, is there any way that I could help you? She says, you really want to help? He says, yeah, I'll do whatever you tell me. She says, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have 6 kids. If you could take the kids out of the house for 4 hours, I'll be able to bake and cook and clean. Just get them out of the house for 4 hours. And he's thinking, what in the world is he going to do in Lakewood for 4 hours with his kids? But he remembered that there's an airport. It's called Newark Airport. And it's an hour away from Lakewood. And these kids were never in an airport. So he figures he'll take him to the airport 1 hour, bring him back a second hour. It's already 2 hours. But then he remembers that in the airport, there's an air train, a train that goes from one airline to the other, because the airports are so big today. So if you land in Delta and you got to get to United or you got to get to American, so you get on the train, there's no charge, and you go from station to station, so you don't have to walk. So he figures these kids were never on an air train. They were never in the airport. So let's go get them into the station wagon, the SUV, and they all go to the airport. And they're going on the train from station to station, and they see the planes taking off and landing because it's over ground. You can see it, and then you see the highway. They're having a great time. After 2 hours, a pilot gets on. Very neat-looking guy, spiffy-looking guy with a tie and a hat, a cap, a uniform. And he sees a father with 6 kids. So these pilots are very nice people.
He goes over to the kids and he says to the kids, where are you guys flying today? They didn't know what to say. So they look at the father, and the father says to the pilot, actually, sir, we're flying nowhere. He says, nowhere? He says, you see, we're religious Jews, and we have a holiday. It's very, very busy. So my wife asked me if I could get the kids out of the house for a couple hours so she could bake and cook and clean. And we're just having a great time together on this air train. And the pilot got very serious. And he said, young man, I want to tell you something. I've been a pilot for 25 years. There's not a major airport in the world that I haven't landed in. He said, 2 years ago, I got a text from my son. And he said, Dad, you're always so busy. You never came to any of my birthday parties. You didn't even come to my graduation. And last week was the birthday party of your first grandson, my son. And you didn't even have the decency to come. Do me a favor. Take my number out of your contacts. And 2 weeks later, he said, I got the same text from my daughter. He said, young man, I have flown everywhere, but obviously gone nowhere. You told me you're flying nowhere, but with your kids, you're going everywhere. I just want to repeat that. I have obviously flown everywhere, the pilot said, but obviously gone nowhere. You told me you're flying nowhere, but with your kids, you're going everywhere. And that's the final lesson. You want your children to go everywhere? You got to be there with them. You got to spend time with them. You have to be a role model. The way you pray, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you spend your leisure time, the children watch. Those of you who say Birchat HaMazon, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky once said, we say HaRachamon, the compassionate one, Hashem, who Yevoreh should bless, Ovi Moiri, my father, my teacher, Imi Moirosi, my mother, my teacher. Not every father's in the classroom. Not every mother's in the classroom. But the way you act, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you daven, the way you bench, you're a teacher. Your husband is a teacher. Let's remember, we have a very important role. You are the mothers of Klal Yisrael. Aim Adam to Mashiach. You're the ones that can daven better than the men. You're the ones that are aim kol choy, give life and existence and validation to the children. Hashem should bless all of us, all of you. That you should be able to fulfill this great role. And next year, Lamaila, we'll meet in Yerushalayim or HaKadosh with Mashiach. Thank you for inviting me. Amanda, thank you, and thank you for listening.